Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You're only human. How good is that? You've got a ticker that runs your body round the clock, and a body that converts what you eat into what powers your feet, and feet that can run 100 kilometers, all for that 8:35 a.m. bus. Human, you are epic. And it's health that helps you see just how ultra you can be. Live better with Medibank. Head to medibank.com.au to learn more about private health insurance today. This is Good Humans Podcast with me, Cooper Chapman, chatting to the world's best about the inspiring stories that got them to where they are today. What's going on, you good humans? Welcome to guest episode 152 of Good Humans Podcast with the very special Timmy Franklin. This guy is currently running around the world. He's 23,000 kilometers in to a 26,000 kilometer expedition, I guess you'd call it, running across multiple continents, multiple countries, and far out. I just loved every moment of this episode. Quick word from our sponsors, a big thank you to Wild Earth Australia. These guys have been supporting me on my journey to running a 100-kilometer ultra marathon, the UTA Ultra Trail Australia Blue Mountains race coming up on May 18 in just a couple of weeks. It was really cool to chat to Timmy about his running and get me really pumped up for mine. So Wild Earth Australia is a store where you can grab everything you need for anything to do with running, adventure, or just outdoors. I've been loving going into store at Burleigh Heads. I've also got a store up in Brisbane. An absolute wide variety of everything you could possibly need for your running needs and everything else in between. Also, I've been getting all my nutrition stuff from there, which has just been great. And they've done something really cool for me. If you want to get an access to a discount price every time you shop at Wild Earth, whether it's in store or online, hit the link in the show notes and you can sign up to the Wild Earth Wallet Pass. You go through this quick little form where it says club, put in Good Human Pod, and you're going to get access to full discount every single time you purchase anything from Wild Earth, whether it's online or in-store. If you want to go in-store, you can get the Wallet Pass, you add it to your phone. If you want to go online, you can use your account that you sign up for. And far out, if you need anything to do with running, I encourage you, go check out Wild Earth. They've been a huge supporter of me, just the most friendly people in store. And the online experience is amazing, really quick delivery and just a really good variety of everything you could think of. So big thanks to Wild Earth for supporting. Also, a huge thank you to Drink a Rapper, the brain drink, all for brain performance and brain health. So I've been working alongside these guys for a few years now, and I use their product every single day. I take their capsules pretty much with every single morning when I do my supplement little regime. I have a whole bunch of different supplements, but I always have the brain capsules that Drink a Rapper do. I also put the brain powder in every single smoothie. Whenever I make a smoothie after my runs with my protein, my super greens, I make sure I put a spoonful of the brain powder. Amazing stuff. And then most importantly, the drinks, the blackcurrant flavored, delicious, all natural, no caffeine, all beautiful ingredients, scientifically proven to make your brain perform better in the short term, but then also have good benefits on your long-term brain health. So if you like blackcurrant flavor, if you like having energy drinks, but you don't like putting terrible stuff in your body, then I encourage you, head over to drinkarepa.com, check out the science behind their product, and use the code GOODHUMAN for a big 25% off everything over on their website. I love this stuff. I use it every single day, and I know you guys are going to love it too. You can pick it up in Coles and Woolies as well if you just want to grab a single serving and try it out for yourself. Tag me in Insta and let me know what you think. I'd love to hear your feedback of the product. Okay, Timmy Franklin. Far out. This was a great chat. It was actually quite a short chat, so make sure you listen very wisely into this episode, because Timmy is currently in the middle of doing this challenge. He's 500 days into it, and yeah, he's got about 100 days left. He's got to run from Adelaide across to Melbourne and then up the east coast to Brisbane to finish off his tour. So a little about Timmy, what you're going to get in this episode. First of all, I'm just blown away by his support crew on this run. I thought he would have a full team with him that was funded by sponsorship and donations, but it's literally just been friends, family, and connections with people who want to support him on this journey have chipped in and joined in for a little week, 2 week, 1 month, 3 month parts of the expedition. And yeah, it's just so cool to see the community getting around him. But Tim was a lawyer. He found himself in a job that he didn't really like. He found himself in a body that he wasn't really happy with. His exercise regime wasn't where he'd hoped it to have been. And he made some changes. He got into his, I guess, athletic career and got his mindset on triathlon and long stage races. He talked all about it in this podcast real briefly, but then we got into the run that he's currently on. He unfortunately isn't going to break the world record, which he set out to do. But you'll hear in this podcast why. His dad was diagnosed with melanoma, stage 4 cancer. So he had to come home, spend some time with his dad. He then went back to America while he was in the middle, I think only in like a day 150. And his dad passed away. He made the decision not to come home for the funeral. He talks all about that. And it's just a beautiful story to show the resilience that it's taken, not just physically, but mentally for Timmy to get through this race. So if you do enjoy this episode, do me a huge favor. Make sure you share it with a friend, share it in your family group chat, share it in your running group chat. But most importantly, just listen to it again if you get something out of it. It's such a powerful episode, this. It creates such inspiration for me, and I'm sure it will for you as well. So make sure you share it around, put it on your Instagram story, tag myself, Timmy Franklin. We need to get his followers up. What he's doing right now is just incredible, and he doesn't have the following that he absolutely deserves. So make sure you go follow him on social media, and yeah, we'd love that. So let's jump into the chat. Let's go. Welcome to Good Humans Podcast, Timmy Franklin. How you going, brother?
Yeah, I'm good, Cooper. I'm good, mate. It's thanks for having me on. It's it's good to connect.
Mate, it's very exciting to have a chat to you. You're in the middle of one of the most insane challenges I've ever heard of somebody doing. You're running around the world currently, and you're 500 days in. You're in Adelaide right now. You're in your last continent back here in Australia. Yeah, in Adelaide. You've run from Perth. You got to go across to Melbourne, then up the coast, up to Brisbane, through Sydney to finish off. So you've still got 3,000 Ks, you told me off air. You've done 23,000 Ks over the last, 500 days. How are you feeling?
Oh, I think first and foremost, I'm tired. But finally, I've started to let myself think about the finish line. So that's given me a little bit of a boost, a little bit of adrenaline is kicking in. But I'm feeling good. Body feels good. Head has its good days, like everyone has its bad days. But I'm feeling as good as I have since probably 150 days in, to be honest.
Wow, good on you, man. It's just so crazy what you're achieving right now and what you're doing every single day, day in, day out. And I'm very excited to catch up to why you're doing this and talk a bit more into the running. And I know you've only got 45 minutes right now, so we're going to not whip through this podcast, but we're going to try and get up to the run quite quickly. But as I told you off air, I do like to understand the why behind things and understand people's stories a bit more. And doing a bit of research, your story is super inspiring because I feel a lot of people would hear your story and go, oh, this guy's been a runner his whole life. He's, you know, set this big goal and trained for years to be able to go and achieve this. But my research has showed me that it isn't like that. So we're going to understand a bit more about your backstory. So I will quickly ask the first question I ask everyone on the podcast, and then we'll get into your childhood and your high school years. So what are you grateful for right now, today in your life?
Oh, man, always grateful for probably two things. One is my family. They've done, you know, so much for me. Every time I've made a decision that arguably I shouldn't have made, they've been there to support me through it in the good times and the bad. And then my support network, my friends and my, you know, all my on-road support crew for this run, mate, I got the best group of mates I could possibly ever have hoped for. And they're always there for me. So my friends and family, mate, it's probably cliche and probably a lot of people say it, but I am that blessed to be surrounded by some of the greatest people I've ever met.
Wow, good on you, man. It's so important that you bring that up, because I'm going to actually start there, because there's a question that I've been burning to hear about. Not only are you sacrificing 2 years of your life in the challenge, I'm sure there was training before, but the crew that you must have with you and the dedication and the sacrifice that it's taking for them as well to help you achieve this challenge. Can you tell me what that looks like? Has there been anyone with you the whole time? Has there been in and out of people? How many do you have with you on the road at each time? Do you have a camper van? Because Australia logistically in itself is bloody hard, but you've run across Africa, you've run across Asia, you've run across South America, you've run across America. Logistics must be incredibly tough. So before we go back to the start of your journey, do you want to just give me a bit of an idea of who's with you on this run and what it's looked like having them with you and what sort of support they are providing you?
Yeah, so yeah, it's a great question. This is predominantly self-funded. So
that was going to be a question too. How the bloody hell are you affording this?
Yeah, so I've obviously sacrificed, you know, I've sacrificed it because I wanted to. So it's not sacrifice, it's an investment. It's how I look at it. But because it is a predominantly self-funded exercise, it's a really lean ship. So at home, I have a mate of mine who's helping me with the logistics and project management. And then I also have a good friend of mine who's putting together the reels for my social media and making some contact as well with people like that message in and out when I can't get to it just because of time zones, etc. So, and then on the road, it's just friends who have donated, you know, their time to come and be in the van with me. So at the moment in Australia, I have an RV. And we just stay in that. So I have one or two people with me at all times. And they're usually just mates that have, you know, taken 2 weeks off, you know, annual leave and flown out to wherever I am. And that's been the case across the world. I was lucky enough to have a couple of mates that started with me and they got the first 10 weeks done. So we got the ball rolling. And then I had another friend a guy I didn't know at all. He was a friend of a friend. And he came for about 5 months. Yeah, it was awesome. You know, to a guy that I never met, just wanted to be a part of the journey. I'll give him a shout out. It's Damo. He did so much for me. And then from there across Europe, the UK, Asia, and then here in Oz, it's just been, yeah, mates, literally like flying in for up to anywhere from 2 weeks to 30 days to get me home, right? Like that's what I've been relying on. Obviously I cover on-road costs and stuff like that, but their time, mate, that's a huge investment for people to give. So that's how we've rolled, and we've been rolling for 504 days. And I think I've still got a few friends left to get me home.
That is just the coolest thing I've ever heard, because you hear of a lot of people setting out to do challenges just like yours, and you did set out to break a world record at the start, and we'll catch up to why you aren't going to break that world record. But people have like their physio with them, they have a team of experts who are really helping them on this journey. The fact that you're doing this just with mates and self-funded completely just has already blown my mind about what you're doing. I mean, not that what you're doing isn't just the most mind-boggling thing ever, but the fact that it's self-funded. So with logistics, is it your mate at home kind of teeing up like, all right, you need to be here at this date because he's going to be there? Like, because just the moving parts of it and the food.
He's been doing a lot of the talking to them, but they've, like, all the contacts probably been through me. So just while I'm on the road during the day, I'm making calls, sending messages, finding out where people are, and then just Tetrising people in. What dates, how does it work, where will I be? We get them to the closest airport, we get a car hired, they drive in, the other guy drives out. Yeah, it's how I've made it to Adelaide. I think I'll look back when I finish and just be like, we've got away with one, you know. I haven't had a day off because of waiting for a crew. Touch wood, thus far. Yeah. So we've gone through everything and we're still moving. So yeah, pretty incredible. And I'm really proud of my friends and myself and the lean ship that we've had to get this far without that huge PR driving behind us or out those sponsorship dollars. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've got some great companies that have helped me, but yeah, nothing to cover like anywhere like about say 90% self-funded. That all that, I mean, I'm incredibly proud of what we've been able to achieve. But I suppose. I don't know what it looks like from the outside. So it's interesting you say that. You'd think there'd be a bigger team behind it. But yeah, that's just it's just a tiny lean little operation for sure.
Oh, that is so good. Bloody hell, I hope Australia really gets behind you, especially with this last leg up the East Coast. You should have so many more followers and PR behind what you're doing, because obviously we saw the Harder Skeezer guy just run the length of Africa, and you've bloody run around the world, and there's nowhere near enough media attention about it. So hopefully this podcast is the blow up that you deserve. I will not make any promises, but anyone listening, make sure you share this bloody episode, because you're going to be blown away. But let's go back to the start now. We're going to obviously skim through this quite quickly, but I think it's going to give people a good understanding of like, how the hell does someone get to the point of running around the world? So do you want to tell me a bit about your upbringing, family life, siblings, high school, and then where you went after high school and what got you into law?
Yeah, mate, it's like I said at the start, like I'm grateful for my family. Like I use the word lucky a lot, because I've born to two of the greatest people ever. And they've, you know, done everything for me, always valued education, always valued putting clothes on my back, food on the table, roof over my head, everything. So I was just a normal kid growing up in the suburbs of Brisbane. Loved playing like footy in the winter, cricket in the summer, doing all that stuff, being out and about, running amok generally. And then as I got a little bit older, into later high school, I got injured, stopped playing sport for a little bit, and then just started to neglect my health. Generally,
what injury did you have?
I had Osgood Schlatter's. So really, it's like a knee. It's like when your tendons and bones grow at a different rate, and they like shear away from each other. And I've got scoliosis as well. So my spine's got a curve in it. Yeah. And one leg significantly shorter than the other. So so you're running, right?
Yeah. So anyone listening who's got excuses saying they can't run, you don't have excuses that you can't. I mean, I won't take away from some people that definitely do, but you've got every excuse in the world not to be a runner, let alone run around the world. So you took time off sport and neglected being an athlete, or exercise.
I just neglected my health, you know, and just ate bad foods, you know,
have a great excuse. You had scoliosis, you had legs that are size, but different lengths, and you had a thing in your knees going on.
Yeah, knees, which were extraordinarily painful. I couldn't really move without pain a lot of the time. And then that probably sort of healed itself, but by then I had moved. Well, I'd bad gone habits. So long without movement that it was so foreign to me again. I'd still been playing cricket, but that didn't, you know, really involve a lot of a lot of movement. I wasn't fit. So you know, and then you turn 17, 18, and you know, and alcohol's introduced, and parties are introduced into life, and I went down, like a lot of people do, right? I went down that avenue, and that coupled with a poor diet and poor life choices, just, I mean, it meant that when I was about 22, a bit younger even, that I can't really remember, so long ago now, but I ballooned, my weight ballooned, and I got out probably, well, it's just a number. I got out to about 120 kilos, and I was like, oof, this is not a great place to be. I don't feel good.
What do you sit at now, just for
about 80.
Context? Yeah. So you put on some kegs.
Yeah. So I had put on, when I lost my weight.
50% of your body weight at the time.
50% of my body weight. Yeah. I hadn't been this weight since, you know, I went through it when I was like 16 or something.
Yeah. Wow.
So I mean, life's so much better when you're fitter, right? And so that was like, maybe 2004. I decided, no, I need to do something about this. So a good mate of mine and I, we went for a run one day. It was the hardest thing we've ever done. Like made it like 2 kilometers, walked half of it, got my mum to come and pick me up from a payphone along the road, because I was so cooked. And I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with how hard it was. I fell in love with the fact that it was not easy for me. And I kept doing it, ended up dabbling in triathlons. I still talk about my first ever triathlon event. I think there were 78 people in it, and I finished 74th or 75th, and there was like two or three DNFs. I was the second last guy across the finish line. But I loved it, you know, I loved it again. Like I love the challenge of it. I love, you know, and I was never really competing against others. I was just competing against me and getting better and just enjoying the process. And then that I got a little bit more serious about that in like the early, like 2010, 2011, went into sort of longer form triathlons, into the Ironman racing. And then in 2015, 2016, I came across like an ultra marathon, like a multi-day event where you sort of got to carry all your own stuff that you need for the week. It's like 300 to 500 Ks long, similar to what Jackie does. Like, I know Jackie well. We've raced together a few times. And I just fell in love with that and found out that I was reasonably good at it in that I was, the attrition worked in my favor. I could run one day, live on very little food, wake up the next day and go again. I really enjoyed it. I really disconnecting from the world. There's no phone. I didn't want to take my phone. It was extra weight. So I just disconnected and loved it, you know, loved it, loved how brutal it was. And then I was in an event in 2017 and I met a guy called by the name of Tom Dennis, who was the only other Aussie to have run around the world.
Wow.
And I was like, that is cool. I'm going to do it.
Can we, before you get into running around the world, I just want to rewind a tiny bit because I want to give people listening a bit of relatability or at least a bit of comparison to maybe somebody in their life, because I feel like running around the world is hard to find a comparison, but your career as a lawyer and then giving that up to become, you know, someone who's more into doing something good for themselves than maybe a corporate life. How long were you a lawyer for? What sort of lawyer were you? And then how did you make that transition out? And how long ago was that? It might have been recently. Just to give people listening, like, how do you go from, I just think people like to hear a little bit about that part of your journey before we get into the run.
Sorry, I was probably skimming through that.
No, that's fine.
Just like most, you know, a lot of people I went school, uni, into the workforce. I spent a little bit longer at uni because I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I have an accounting degree and a law degree, so I'm heaps of fun at parties. but I finished my degrees and I started a legal career. So I was 23 working in the law. I was okay at it, but I don't think I ever loved it. I don't think it wasn't fulfilling me necessarily, but I love the people I work with. I got to meet some great people, develop great friendships. So I did that for about 13 years. Wow. And then when I got more serious about, you know, getting fitter, I was obviously still working full time the whole time. And in about 2016, 2017, an opportunity came up where I could start coaching the triathlon squad that I was a part of. Very good friend of mine, Mark Turner, he had started the triathlon squad. So at about 2017, he asked if I'd be interested in doing more coaching. I said, love to. So I started coaching more. And then in 2018, I walked away from the law and coached on a full-time basis. Huge risk, you know, huge risk financially. It was a big decision, but I knew it was the right one. I've loved it. You know, I loved it. It's so great to see people achieve things that they didn't think they could. So from 2018, I have been a full-time run coach and triathlon coach. So I'm lucky to work with, like a couple of schools around Brisbane as well, and coach athletics and cross country, and just see young people just build confidence and teach them. You know, I am lucky to work at some private schools that have the four walls of comfort, you know, around the school and most likely at home because they're blessed to have that. But just teach them, you know, about, you know, discipline and resilience and hard work and when life's not easy. And I find running really is the great humbler. You know, you can have everything in life, but doesn't mean you can run well, and there's always someone faster than you and you can always get faster.
I love that. That's a beautiful way to look at it, and it's such a nice journey that you've been on to step away from something that I'm sure you've climbed that corporate ladder, your salary's increasing, you've got more opportunities coming, but going, you know what really matters to me? And that's helping people with their journey, continuing my own journey. And then, yeah, you learn from somebody that, hey, running around the world's something to do. When did you make the decision, right, when you met him that, hey, I'm going to do that? What was that next chapter for you from learning about running around the world to the planning? I can imagine was huge. The training was huge. Yeah, tell me the timeline after learning about running around the world.
Yeah, so it was pretty organic, right? I met Tommy and I was like, man, that's cool. I really want to do something like that. Didn't really know what it was like. So I just went away after I met him, jumped on his website, looked at where he went, spoke to a few mates and said, this is what I'm thinking about doing. And the beauty of it, and I don't know whether we'll go into it later, but the guys I've surrounded myself, that positive support network, mate, is brilliant, right? So I tell these guys I'm going to run around the world or I'm thinking about it, and the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, how can I help? How can we get amazing. It done? And it's mate, it's legendary, right? So I had just thought about it. I just thought about it. It just consumed my thought for a long time. And I was prepping and like I said, like I'm not a naturally talented athlete. Like I've just worked hard and worked at it and just love it. I'm passionate about, you know, pushing myself to a point that's sustainable because I love to do it. I want to be running when I'm 90, right? I want to be doing it for my life. So I just trained. I didn't really change a lot. It's just consistency over a long period of time. And just slowly built up the K's. And that was, 2017, 2018. Got a lot more momentum in 19. I did a trip overseas to just suss out what America looks like. At the end of 2019, flew back into a pandemic at the start of 2020. So everything was just put on ice. The tri-squad couldn't keep operating. There was no income coming in. I couldn't travel. I was just like, what the? It's just happening, you know?
You ran a marathon in your living room, didn't you?
I did. So a mate of mine sent me a news story that someone in France had run a marathon in their apartment. And I was like, and she's like, you can do that. So I was like, why not? So I just did it, you know, a bit of entertainment, something a bit fun. Well, a lot of people were battling. I thought, you know, it's a bit of a lighter side of things. So, yeah, did 2,000 laps of my two-bedroom apartment to run a marathon. I think I had a world record for a day, and then some bloke down in Sydney beat me the day after. and did a few things like that. Climbed Everest in my stairwell in my apartment block through COVID as well. But just have constantly moved, have constantly run, have constantly tried different things. Race different distances, just enjoyed it. You know, I love it. And then eventually, you know, we got COVID under control. It allowed me more time to train, more time to save money for it. And then I kicked it all off in the 2nd of December 2022 or the 3rd of December 2022. To be honest, dates are somewhat irrelevant at the moment. But I was just training pretty consistently, never overtraining. I was really conscious of turning a 500 to 600 day run into an 800 day run by training too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I just worked on just backing up day after day, just doing anywhere from 20 to 50 Ks every day, just at home, and then just going, all right, this is what it feels like to not really want to run, but just get started and then we can work into it. So that's what my training looked like, just fitting it around work and stuff like that. So
amazing. So what was the world record that you were aiming to beat? And do you want to explain what running around like across the world looks like, what continent you started in, and then maybe we'll have a story somewhat of each continent, and that's going to, So what was the world record that you were aiming to beat, and what classifies running across the world?
Yeah. So the current world record holder, is Serge Girard, and he completed it in 434 days. So he averaged 60.5 Ks a day. including including rest stops, you know, and days off to travel. So he's a monster, mate. He, if you look him up, he has got every record you could possibly fathom about continental running. He is unbelievable and a really nice guy too. So he's a record holder. So in order to be considered a world runner, the rules are set by an association called the World Runners Association. It's arbitrary, you know, they've just come up with the rules. But I thought if I'm going to do it, I might as well follow these rules. They're as good as any. You have to do a minimum of 26,232 kilometers. You have to run across a minimum of four continents. And for a continent to count, you have to run a minimum of 3,000 kilometers on that continent and start within 1 kilometer of the ocean on one side and finish on the within 1 kilometer of the ocean on the other side, or major water inlet. And you have to pass every line of longitude in one direction, whether you are running obviously in a plane or a boat, you have to pass in one direction. They're the key ones. So the continents I chose as my four were North America, South America, Europe, tiny little bit of Asia, and then Australia to finish.
Wow. That is just insane. Let's talk about the first one then. Because you ran New Zealand as well.
Yeah, so if I'd run those, it's not 26,000.
So there, didn't hit one of the criteria. Okay.
Yeah. So I had to, I could have, but visas and stuff mean that you have to be in and out of certain parts of the world quickly.
Oh, 90 days and stuff.
Yeah, so I can't.
Logistical nightmare. Yeah. Yes.
So for the US, it took me about 160 days and I ran 9,000 kilometers in the States and had to fly to Perth to meet the consulate to get a visa. So instead of the 90-day ESTA, it's basically 180 days visa, which I got. So I could do that. So yeah, stuff like that that you don't even necessarily think of that just come into play.
You started in Brisbane, right? And then you left off from Brisbane on a plane. Where was first?
I flew into Queenstown.
Yeah.
And then ran from Queenstown across New Zealand to I think Dunedin, and then just up the east coast. Through like Christchurch, Wellington, all the way up to Auckland. It was awesome, mate. It was a great start.
How many Ks there?
I did 1,500 Ks.
Beautiful.
In NZ, and then flew NZ straight into San Francisco.
What's your average sort of Ks? Talk me through that first sort of bit, but then the average Ks, but then is it every single day and no rest day?
Yeah, no rest days. Only days
I travel to rest. Like
the first 100 and something days were I had a half day because I had to wait for a ferry to get from the North Island to the South Island.
Yeah.
And then the fly out day, flying from Auckland to San Fran. And then we got flooded in San Francisco. They had these 50 once in 50 year storms. It was like New Year's Eve and it hammered down. So we were flooded in that day. And then I think 2 weeks later, we were flooded a little bit further down, down the coast. Before we got to LA, we were flooded in there, but they're the only 2 days I'd had off.
And averaging over that 60 K.
I was averaging like 63 and a half Ks a day. In the US, I was just hitting 65s every day, just rolling through. Body was feeling good, working well. Yeah, so yeah, got off to as good a start as I could have hoped, to be honest.
Talk me through going across America. How's that mission? How long did it take?
The place is enormous, right? Like
it's big, isn't it?
It's a big continent, it's a big country. But I loved it. You know, I sort of really love the American culture. Certain parts of the American culture, but definitely around their sport and stuff like that. So I wanted to go off the beaten track and meet as many Americans as I could. And they were awesome. And they were so hospitable. I ran into these gas stations in like Texas and stuff where where the lady behind the counter was like, "You're the first person I've ever met not from Texas."
No way.
So she had like, it's a long way. And then like another one was like, your accent sounds like you're from the South. And we're like, well, yeah, a long way south.
A long way south from here.
So yeah, the US was, and we got hit with floods and blizzards and a tornado as well, came through where we were. And I went, like, there was a time where I went 4 or 5 days without seeing a person. I did not see.
Through
I saw
the
cars.
Desert.
It wasn't even the desert. It was just through Oklahoma into Kansas. I knew it's just such a big, open, sparse land. But I knew cars were going past, and I knew people were driving the cars, but I didn't actually interact or see a person outside of a vehicle for like 4 days.
What about gas stations?
Just gas stations. But I didn't go into them.
Resting.
My support crew just went in and filled up. I didn't need to go in and see anyone. I was just running. And
once you got across America, any injuries yet? What's the body here?
So the body was humming along probably for about the first 90 days, and then at about the 90 day mark, I got really bad tendonitis in my shins. So it's like anterior tibialis tendonitis, I think is the medical term for it. And both my shins just were so swollen, like they were double the size. And it was just the elastic of the sock was agony, just pressing against it. So I was like, oh. So I thought I had shin splints, right? I that's where I think everyone's head goes. I was like, oh no, what's going on here? But I thought I'll just keep going. It was painful. Like, it was bringing me to tears, you know, a lot of the time. And I'm like, oh, come on, Timbo, you're about sustainable. What are you thinking? But I just worked through it. You know, I was smart about it, pulled back the Ks. You know, I was doing, instead of doing 65, I started doing 50 to 55 just to work, through it. But the body healed itself. But at the same time that that injury came on, I got the phone call from home about my dad. So it was like a double whack, which really impacted me mentally, probably more so than physically.
Yeah. Can you tell me what that phone call was like and what it was for those who don't know your story, if you're happy to share? Cause that pulled away the world record for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it didn't have to. Yeah. It didn't have to, but you made that choice. Yeah. Do you want to explain that?
And to be completely respectful, I don't want to disrespect Serge in any way. Whether I would have made the world record.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got no idea. I'm saying probably not, to be honest. It's been a belter of a journey, right? It's been a hell of a challenge. But I got a phone call from mum and dad to say that my dad had terminal cancer. He had melanoma, and he had 3 months to live. Or 3 to 6 months to live, but they had found out earlier, but had chosen not to tell me so I could focus on the run, which I assume was eating them up, to let me know, because I'd ring and I'd be like, oh, how's everything going? Yeah, good. Yeah. I was like, righto. And then I got this phone call in March to say, hey, I'm not well, but you know, you hear stories about people surviving. Don't worry about it. You just keep running and I'll make sure I'm around to see you finish. And then about another month time or 2 months time, got a phone call, because I was ringing and I was just getting like four defensive responses from my parents saying, oh, no, it's all good. It's all good treatment. We're on a trial drug, blah, blah. And then I sort of cracked it at them and said, stop. You know, don't bullshit.
Give it to me truthfully.
Just give it to me straight. What is actually happening? And then they said, listen, we've got an appointment with the oncologist in a week. We'll let you know. And that appointment was the trial drug's not working. We're going to stop treatment. He's probably got 2 to 3 weeks to live.
Care and comfort.
Tim, if he wants to come and say goodbye, come now. And I was like, it's not sort of what I do. I was like, I'm going home.
Yeah.
But that's when I had a crew changeover as well. So a crew flew out
to America.
Into America the day I flew out. So I was like, sorry, mate, can you just sit around? I'll be back. I'm just going to go say goodbye to dad. So I flew in, and as soon as the plane touched down in Brisbane, I knew that's where I needed to be. I knew not as much for me, but for mum, for dad. After all they'd done for me, I just was like, I have to be here. And I was there, and it was awesome. I spent, just 7-8 days lying in a bed next to dad, just talking nonsense, right? Just reliving the past with my mum, my sister, my brother. We were all there, my nieces and nephews, all there. It was pretty bloody special, to be honest. And then I said, oh, listen, I've got to go. I've got to do this. And dad was always fully supportive of it. So I flew out again, I think about 8 or 9 days later. And then he passed away the day after I left. And the hardest thing, it was upsetting that he passed away. I knew it was happening. So that wasn't the worst thing. The hardest thing for me was watching his funeral from the other side of the world. I'm like, shit, should I have stayed for that? Mm-hmm. But he told me to go and finish the damn run. So that's what I was going to do. And from there, the record was going to be uber challenging, and I was going to have to really go to places which, would have put me in harm's way. So I just made the decision, let's just run, set a goal, but just don't annihilate yourself again, because I want to be running when I'm 100, right? So I just made the decision to just run anywhere from 50 to 60 Ks each day and see how it goes.
And then how far in was that?
I think approximately in the hundreds. Yeah, it was like 140.
Okay, wow. So
it was a little ways in. It wasn't too far in, but it was. I had made it. Maybe it was even longer than that, because I think I had made it across. I had crossed the states.
Okay.
So I had finished America in that time officially.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm so sorry to hear about that, but it sounds like I feel like you made the right decision. It looks like from watching your face to sharing that and listening to you, it sounds like you know you made the right decision too, which is all that matters. So good on you. I know we don't have much time, but I'm going to now speed run through this run. You finish America. Speed run
something I can't do.
We've got 350 days to catch up. We've got a full year of running. What was after America?
So I went to South America. Amazing, amazing place. I ran Chile and did like a U-shape down the south and up the east coast.
Argentina, Brazil?
Yeah, no, I didn't go as far as Brazil. I flew out of Buenos Aires. So I went Chile, Argentina.
Nice.
Amazing. And I ran across the Andes down in Patagonia.
Wow.
And it was, people asked me what my favorite part of the run was, and that was it. The most amazing scenery landscape that I've ever seen. It was phenomenal. Wow. I'd love to go back there and spend some time. Just the people were lovely. I tried to fully immerse myself and learn Spanish terribly, but I tried, just put myself out of that comfort zone and just tried to speak Spanish, as much as I could. I loved it. It was amazing.
Have you been getting to do a little bit? Not obviously doing a lot of sightseeing, but immerse yourself a little bit in the culture and eat some of the cuisines or anything, or is it wake up, breakfast, run for 8 hours, recovery, sleep?
Yeah, pretty well. I haven't gone sightseeing.
You've been seeing everything more than anyone. Exactly.
Yeah, I haven't gone as, yeah, I haven't done as much as possibly I thought I would. I don't know whether I did think I would see
anything. The day we're chatting, I saw you at the AFL last night. I was like, oh, you've been
just Yeah, on so that's holiday. The first time. Yeah, that's the first time. And because a couple of blokes went to like a lot to get the tickets, I didn't want to then just let them go to waste. So I went.
Slept through the first.
Yeah, I must say I left, let's say I just left before the final siren.
Good on you.
And that was a really close game too. So I've never been to Adelaide Oval to watch footy, and I'm a bit of a complete sports nuffy. So I really wanted to go and watch it. So Yeah, so no, I haven't done a lot of sightseeing, like as a tourist would, but I've just been on the road seeing it.
No, that's good. You've seen it all. So you finish South America. I heard you've got a great story in Mongolia. Something happened that I read online. You saved someone out of a car or something.
No, Bulgaria.
Bulgaria.
In Bulgaria, yeah. Mongolia. So I was running along a highway. It was like Eastern Europe was freezing cold. Like it was like minus 11.
Oof.
Minus five. It never got to zero, basically. It was snowing and just cold for months. And
where was your Europe run from?
I ran from Spain. Oh, yep. Sorry, that's not true. I ran from Lisbon in Portugal all the way to Constanta in Romania on the Black Sea. So I ran
through Germany up to
So I ran Portugal, Spain, France, Switzerland, Germany, Austria. Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania.
Wow.
And hit the Black Sea. We were meant to go into Turkey, but our hire car wasn't permitted to go. So we were like, well, I guess we got to finish here then.
So that's why you don't have a full head of hair. No, I'm joking. didn't stop in Turkey and get the hair done.
Yeah, I didn't get my veneers done either.
do you want to real quickly tell me that story? Save someone out of it.
All right. I was running along. We just crossed the border from Romania back into Bulgaria because that's just the way we had to go. And then I was just running along this highway, just one way, one lane each way. And then I was always run into traffic. Mm-hmm. Just because it's safer, because I can see exactly what's happening. And this car van was coming towards me, and it just stopped. Like it just stopped on the road, and I was like, "What's going on?" It's like he was like out of petrol or something. Because I was like, and he put an indicator on and not his hazards. So I'm like, "What is going on?" Anyway, I was like, "Oh well, this is not the weirdest thing I've seen, but I'll just keep going." So I kept running, and then next minute, a car was just coming up behind him, and whether he wasn't concentrating or didn't realize that this bloke had actually come to a stop, just swerved to get out of the way. So he swerved into oncoming traffic and then pulled it back. And when he pulled it back, his car just flipped.
Oh.
And it was just happening just like in front of us. And my support crew at the time happened to be like, I was about to stop and, you know, get a drink or get something to eat from my support crew. And we just sort of looked at each other and went, did that just happen? And then we both ran there, and this car's on its side, and there's an embankment of the road, and it's on its side. And old mate was sort of standing up in his car trying to get out. And the car's like, Ryan, I'm like, mate, stop, 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 stop. I can't speak Bulgarian. So I was like, stop, stop, stop. Because if you try and get out, your car's going to roll and crush you. And we're trying to stop his car from rolling. Anyway, we go, mate, come out that side, because that's back onto the road. It's much safer. And he goes, stop, stop, stop. He stopped us from helping him, bent down, picked up his smokes, put his smokes in his pocket, and then let us lift him out of the car. So he had his priorities somewhat mixed up. He had a gash on his head. There was glass everywhere. Yeah, it was chaos. And we were like, well, we don't need to stay here. I can't speak Bulgarian. So I'm not going to be able to give any sort of, you know, statement to the police. So we just kept on running, and that was the day. And like, yeah, weird stuff like that has happened all the time, you know, like it's just random things that I can't like sit down and like think about, but over a course of a long conversation. Yeah. There's stories. Oh,
and I can't wait to have one with you when you finish, and we can sit down and have a beer and have maybe an extended version podcast one day when you finish, when you've got another, maybe just over 100 days or something, or less maybe.
Well, no, maybe less. No, so I'm hoping less, I'm hoping to be about 60 days. I'm hoping to be finished. Days. I don't know exactly when, but yeah, I've entered the Gold Coast Marathon. So,
are you going to do the Gold Coast?
Well, I don't know. No, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm definitely going to. Have you had many people like come and run with you? Because I'd love to come and put in a full day with you when you come.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. The days I've had people run with me are by far my best days. I mean, I love running with people. It's awesome, right? It gets me humming. So yeah, definitely. So I'll be,
mate,
I'll
be you're gonna be Goldie. You're gonna be running past the Blue Mountains, I reckon, when I'm running the Blue Mountains, right?
Yeah, probably.
18th of May, you're gonna be like, yeah. I just wave to you. I just keep running and come. Yeah,
you'll
the
be
next
going
day.
Up them. I'll be avoiding them like the plague.
Yeah, amazing. So, I know, yeah, I don't have much time with you, but so then you leave Europe and then you've come to Australia from Europe.
I went to Asia, ran Kuala Lumpur, down to Singapore.
Yeah.
Which was, I came out of minus 11 degrees,
boiling hot,
snowing to like 35 and 97% humidity. Oof. I was like, what the? So that was brutal. That was, I only spent 10 days there, but that was brutal. That knocked me around a lot.
Yeah.
And then I flew from Singapore into Perth in the middle of a heat wave. So it was 47, 48 degrees. One day we recorded it as like 66 degrees on the road. I was like, I just want to, can I take a trick, you know? But it's all part of it. And this is what one, like, the greatest learning is just, and you no doubt you use it, you know, but you just control the controllables, you know. Mm. I can't control what the weather's going to do, but I can control my attitude towards the weather. I can control what I'm eating, what I'm drinking, what I'm wearing, how I come up with it, putting sunscreen on, being smart. You know, I can control what I can control, and whatever happens around me, and I just adapt and be agile to that. So I've stopped. The only thing that's starting to really get on my nerves is headwinds. I feel like I've had a headwind the entire time, but I can't, you know, I try and put that out of my mind and just focus on what I can control.
Yeah, good on you. One last question, because you kind of alluded to it just there on the controllables. How many bloody pairs of shoes and clothes have you been going through? When do you get time to wash clothes? And what's your calorie intake? And what's your food look like each day? What's your go-to to get the calories in?
Yeah, so pair of shoes, I think I'm up to my 20th pair. I probably could have rotated them more, but again, it's hard to get them and they're expensive. So
surely you got a shoe sponsor.
Oh, well, Hoka have helped me out a little bit, but... Okay. But a lot of it's, again, self-funded as well.
I'll send you a couple pairs of shoes.
Same with clothes as well. I wear my clothes. I just get comfortable in things as well, and I love to wear them, and I wear them until, you know, there's one thread left. So that's what I've been wearing. The clothes have been great. And calorie-wise, I've got food fatigue because I eat something for a while and then I'm like, oh, I can't keep eating this.
Mm.
And then I move on. But it's just, I'm trying to eat. It's really hard to eat whole clean foods because they're not accessible everywhere, especially in an RV, especially, you know, in remote areas. So it's just a lot of, I don't know, like wraps and peanut butter and baked beans and eggs.
Whatever you can get in.
Just whatever I can get, you know, whatever I can get. And the calories, I'll probably burn about 5,000 to 6,000 a day, which is not heaps, but when it's back to back to back to back, it's really hard to keep those calories in. So I'm just sort of eating, you know, I treat myself to, like, you know, chocolate and stuff every now and then just to boost the calories. But that constant sugar intake is not great for me, but I do know that I'm burning it off. It's not like it's just sitting here. So that's what I've been doing. It's seemingly working. I'm sort of 500 days in. And when it comes to, like, we're staying in RV parks and stuff, which have laundries or little motels that have laundromats. So that's all worked out. Some days we've gone, you know, I've had to double up and I've stunk, but who cares? It's only me smelling me, really. So it doesn't really matter. But yeah, it's definitely the age-old, you know, saying of get comfortable being uncomfortable.
That's
where I've lived a fair bit of my life over the last 500 days.
Oh, my God, mate. It just doesn't make any sense what you're doing. And I could talk to you for hours, and I know you got to go. But I do want to ask you two little things before you finish. But anyone who's listening right now, make sure you go and follow Tim, because he's in Adelaide right now. This episode's going to come out. You're going to still, like, not even be in Melbourne. So if you're anywhere on the east coast of Australia, make sure you follow Tim. Are you raising money for anything? Is there a charity partner?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got three charity partners. Inspiring Brighter Futures. Similar, I suppose, to what you guys do. We work with, and I'm heavily involved in the charity before I left. Amazing. And and when I get back, and we work with disassociated youths, domestic violence victims, help them with value-based goal setting to try and align what their values are with who they are as people and what they want to be moving forward.
Amazing.
And it's like one-on-one mentoring where all our mentors are volunteers, which is pretty awesome. So that's one of my charity partners. And then the Lung Foundation is another. And then finally is Wings for Life, which is the Red Bull linked charity about spinal cord research, because their hashtag is Run for Those That Can't. And it just resonates with me, right? It's an absolute privilege, mate. To be able to physically be able to do it, financially be able to do it. So if I can give a little bit back, man, that's no stress at all for me. So yeah, they're my three charity partners, and I mean, I love them, right? I love what they're all about.
Good on you. I'm going to, definitely leave some stuff in the show notes for people to go support that, to go follow your run, because I think, hopefully from this episode, a lot of my audience is the East Coast of Australia, so people can follow your journey, maybe pop in and see you when you're running past, give you a little yell, which will gummy. You got me?
Gotcha.
That's all right. Yeah. People can pop in. I'm going to ask you two real quick questions, because in these podcasts, especially what I'm doing right now with my run, I've been asking people, and I feel really silly asking someone doing 60 Ks a day for some advice around doing my one off. But what advice would you have for me doing my first 100? You've run a lot of other ultra marathons too. So got my first 100 kilometer coming up, Blue Mountains, May 18. What advice have you got for me? Just top level stuff, something that might help me.
Probably, you've probably heard this all before, and it's not new, but it's not executed well. I would leave your ego at the door.
Yeah.
You know, like don't go bullet a gate at the start. You'll watch people hammer out the start and go, and then be like, oof, and slow down and potentially not finish. So leave your ego at the door, run your own race. Don't get sucked in to what anyone else is doing. It's Cooper Chapman versus Cooper Chapman, right?
Yeah.
So just worry about that. Worry about what you're doing. Stay in your own square meter. Stay focused on what you've got to do and your process and your race strategy. That would be my first tip.
Yeah.
Make sure you eat and drink when you need to. And then finally enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it. I mean, like I say, it's a privilege to get to do it, right? Not everyone gets to do it. So just enjoy it. It's going to suck at times, but from that, the good times are so much better because you've suffered through the shit.
Fuck, I love that. Great advice. And the last question I will ask you is, what does being a good human mean to Timmy Franklin?
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. And I knew this was coming up. But but I think just being your genuine, authentic self, you know, don't people, and I've heard this before, you know, don't try and be someone else, because you try and be someone else, people's not going to like that person either. So just be you and live true to who you are and how you want to live your life. And then you'll just attract like-minded people. So don't try and fit a square into a round hole. You know, be you and just be genuine to who you are.
Mate, that is amazing advice. Last one. What have you been listening to? You've been listening to podcasts or music or anything?
Yeah, I swap between podcasts and music. Like, so podcasts, like obviously yours,
no way.
and other like interview type styles, but I also listen to a lot of sports podcasts. Like, it's just like so many hours. I feel like I know everything about the NRL and the AFL, possibly anyone could fathom. And then when times get tough, I just put on a little bit of Teeny Bopper and get Katy Perry or Swifty to bring me home at the end of the day.
Good on you, brother. Well, I'm going to be well and truly cheering for you. I hope more of Australia will be, because your following is not what it deserves to be, but your heart's obviously in such an amazing place. You should be so proud. I'm so proud of you, and I can't wait to get some K's in with you, to meet you in person and hopefully spend some time together. We are pretty close, Brisbane down to the Goldie, so I feel like we're going to get to be mates and maybe go out on the boat and talk about running and not run for a day one day. But yeah, I'll leave in the show notes everything for people to go follow your journey, to donate to you. But yeah, any, if you want to have any last words to the listeners or direct them anywhere, now's your chance.
Yeah, I guess, mate, thanks so much for your time. I understand, you know, how busy you are as a person. So thanks for reaching out to me. Yeah, if people want to follow, I'd love people to follow. Just follow me at Timmy R. Franklin on Instagram. And just movement. Movement is my thing. So get out, get moving, and have fun doing it. It's sort of become my catch cry for this trip. But that's what it's all people to do. Just get out. And if I'm coming near your house, pop out. I don't even, you know, walk with me for a little bit. I'll walk. I'll go your pace. It won't worry me. But just enjoy it. I mean, like losing my father, losing one of my best mates during this run has just showed me, you know, how cool life is and how short it is. So just have fun doing it.
Mate, you're a legend. Thank you so much for jumping on Good Humans Podcast.
Thanks, mate.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.